It is 8:33 in the morning. You are listening to Upfront. I'm Kat Brooks.
And I'm Brian Edwards Teeker.
And teachers in the Oakland Unified School District have been working without a contract since July 1st, 2017. Among the demands are decreased class sizes and increased salaries. OUSD teachers are some of the lowest paid in the Bay Area and have been feeling the impacts of rolling cuts from the administration that many blame on district financial mismanagement. Add this to the fact that the district just announced the closure of at least 24 schools, all in the flatlands of Oakland, in the coming years, and it looks like a strike is definitely on the horizon. Here to join us are the president of the Oakland Education Association, Keith Brown. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Kat.
And Tony D, who is executive director of Youth Together, that works with parents and students inside the school district. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
So, Keith, just paint a picture for our listeners. What is happening inside of OUSD with the teachers? What are your demands?
Yes, and I want to just start off by saying that the teachers in Oakland, the educators in Oakland, we're in solidarity with the teachers of Los Angeles. We stand united with UTLA. I'm wearing my red UTLA shirt right now, and the things that we're fighting for in Oakland are the same things that the educators in Los Angeles are fighting for. We're fighting for an increased investment in our students as far as prioritizing students and classrooms by creating full-service community schools, which includes student supports, students having access to counselors, nurses, librarians, also lower class size. Studies have shown the impact that lower class size has on student learning and just really improving individualized instruction, and also a living wage for teachers and education workers. Students in Oakland and Los Angeles deserve good teachers that live in their community. So we are calling for a living wage to keep keep teachers in the community.
So I'll just point out to you that when we spoke to UTLA last week, was it last week
we spoke
to
them?
Last week, they too shouted out solidarity to the Oakland Education Association. That's it. I'm going to ask you first, Keith, and then Tony, I'm going to turn to you. The district says they just don't have the money. What do you say?
We disagree. In Oakland, we have a district that has prioritized outside private consultants and also central office administrators. We have a district that spends more on central office administrators than any district in Alameda County. Also, we are looking at just the growth of unregulated charter schools, which siphons away $57 million annually from the budget, and that money could be going to support students with lower class sizes, giving students in Oakland nurses. So we definitely feel that there's enough money. And I just heard earlier, Kat, you mentioned about also, you know, taking away the investments in, you know, policing. And, you know, that money should be going into counselors and building relationships with students and investing more in restorative practices. So definitely there's enough money for the district to settle a contract that will prioritize students.
Tony, your organization Youth Together works with parents and students, and you all have directly felt the impact of the cuts that have come. You recently successfully fought to reinstate the supper program. The district's response that we just don't have the money to do it all.
I think that how the district has been messaging the reason why they need to close potentially 24 schools. 20 of those schools are in East Oakland, and the others are in the West and Central and all in the flats, is the declining enrollment over the years. And one of the main issues that we're really not prioritizing or focusing on is the number of charter schools that we have in OUSD, which is around 43 charter schools. And out of those 43 charter schools, like Keith had mentioned, they receive $57 million annually in funding. With our deficit this year, the district presented at the last board meeting how they cut the deficit down to $17 million. But still, you know, the things that we're not floating to the top of the agenda is really who's feeling the impact and who's not going to feel the impact. And so with these schools being closed down and not holding everybody accountable and making sure that everybody can feel a little bit of the pinch is really, you know, coming down to the most impacted and marginalized communities, which are centralized in East Oakland, you know, with economically disadvantaged families living there.
I just want to, on the charter tip, because I totally get the moratorium, no new charter schools. How can you say you're closing 24 public schools and then talk about new charter schools? What can be done, Keith, about the current charter schools and the money they are that comes from the district to them? Is there something that actually can be done about that or no?
Well, there is legislation coming in Sacramento calling for a charter school moratorium, and also just pressuring the state to hold charter schools accountable. Many charter schools do not serve all students, do not serve students with special needs, and this puts a tremendous financial burden on the district, because we're a unified school district and we serve all students. And as far as you have schools that are not servicing all students, they should not be a financial burden on the district.
I guess what I'm asking is legit. I don't know the answer. So I'm wondering, yes, could the district say, okay, we are taking 20%. I'm making up numbers again because I don't know the answer to this, of the money that goes to charter schools and redirecting it to public schools?
I think that is a good solution. And, you know, just our position is that our students in the public schools, our black and brown students need to be prioritized. And also I want to talk about the school closure issue also. OEA, we are against school closures. Studies have shown that school closures do not save districts money. And I agree with Tony that school closures hurt black and brown students. Also, when you have a school closed, that's open for the charter industry to come in, take over that school, and drain even more resources away from our students. And just looking at the district's proposal to close 24 schools in the next several years, that's just an example of what's happening in Oakland and Los Angeles, where we're both fighting for the heart and soul of public education. We're fighting for investments in public education, and school closures represents a different vision of public education, a vision to privatize public education, just like what has happened in New Orleans, where New Orleans has a portfolio model where, in essence, all of the schools in New Orleans are now charter schools. So there are, you know, public schools are under attack in Oakland and Los Angeles, and school closures is one example of that attack. And Oakland teachers, we stand united with the teachers of Roots. There's a school, Roots International, 66 and International, that is faced foreclosure, and the teachers and the parents have not been involved in any discussion. It's just been something that happened top down. So we're supporting our teachers at Roots International, and our students in the Flatlands and East Oakland, black and brown students, deserve better.
I just want to point out that those school closures, I mean, the school transformation, not transformation, the charter school industry that invaded New Orleans happened specifically after Katrina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is what some would call disaster capitalism.
You just heard the voice of Keith Brown. He's president of the Oakland Education Association, the union that represents Oakland school teachers. Also with us in studio, Tony D, executive director of Youth Together. And I want to follow up on this line of questioning about charters, because I'm not clear how much of the ask is directed at the district versus at the state. My understanding is the way the state law works now, the district can only say no to new charters mm-hmm. under limited circumstances. They can't say we don't have the money for a new charter, for mm-hmm. instance. It would hurt our budget too much. It would make us close a new school. So if their hands are tied, like, who do you need to be talking to?
That's actually very accurate. I think that, you know, people who have criticized charter schools fall into that challenge of figuring out, well, how do we, you know, stop the current momentum of the number of charter schools, because it's dividing our communities, right? Because a lot of families that have been impacted and felt that trauma and blunt of what may happen in the public school system or our traditional schools turn to charter schools and put their faith in charter schools. And with, you know, with the 43 charter schools, 30% of Oakland students are currently attending them, right? Like 15,000 of, you know, the 52 that we have in OUSD. And just to name it, we need to take it really to the state level. We need to organize and we need to mobilize and we need to unite as a community to really figure out the solution, because it involves everybody. It's going to impact everybody. And if we don't bring everybody to the table, there's going to be a selective few who's going to make those decisions. And the people that are voiceless at the moment are going to be the ones that are going to be impacted. And with the gentrification happening right now in Oakland, it's just going to get worse. With the school closures that are being proposed, there's no financial evidence of how much money the district will actually save by closing the schools. When we look at 2012 and they closed down five schools, those schools are actually active. But three of them are being hosted by private charter schools, and the other one is more of a hybrid of like a special, Spanish-speaking language program there. And so we need to unite. We need to have these conversations. We need to stop being so isolated in our bubble, and we need to bring it up to the state level to really provide them with the solution and the guidance of what our demands are as the people, because we want to see a quality education for everybody. But having a number of charter schools and not uplifting it or bringing it to the table, and for the charter schools to not be impacted, is inequitable. And so we're talking about serving the whole child, and only a specific community is going to be impacted. That's not equitable, right?
Keith, go ahead, Keith.
Yes, no, I agree, and I just want to point out that when I went to school, I had a great school across the street from my house, Hawthorne Elementary School in Oakland. And being in that school, I had access to speech pathologists, and every student in Oakland deserves to have a quality public school in their neighborhood. And, you know, I agree as far as just with our public schools being defunded, that parents are looking for many options, because they want to educate their child by any means necessary. And, you know, we really need to fight to have these resources to preserve our public schools and improve our public schools. And another thing that we need to really fight for at the state level currently, when a charter school brings a petition to the district and to the state, the economic impact on the district is not a reason to reject a charter petition. We need to change the state law to make economic impact on the district a criteria in issuing charter schools, and that's just an example of what's happening in Oakland. As you know, Tony and I mentioned that, you know, $57 million is being taken away from the district budget annually from charter schools.
Of the 24, so the district said that they released a list and said 24 schools, and they named specific numbers of schools that were going to be closed across the, well, not across the district, in East and West Oakland. They cite one high school in East Oakland that will be closed. There are two. There are Fremont and Castlemont. So I state this is complete speculation, but there is a bunch of construction. They've just invested lots and lots of money in the building up a Fremont High School. So folks are saying it can't possibly be there. And so we're looking at Castlemont. Tony, Youth Together has worked on the campus. Youth Together was born on the Castlemont campus in 1996 in response to the race riots that shook the school that at that time. And you've been, you come through YT as a young person all the way now up to executive director. Just talk about the impact on the students and the community of a Castlemont closure. Mm-hmm. What happens to parents and kids?
I mean, what's been happening with gentrification, you know, the displacement of our students and the displacement of our families. I mean, I've been reading articles, I've been asking parents, I've been asking students. It's really worrisome because, you know, when I was in high school, before they had the small schools initiative, Castlemont had a full entire enrollment. They could fill every seat at that school. And the small schools movement literally broke them up and divided them. And now that's the reason why they kind of shrunk down to half of their population. But with the closure of those schools, you're talking about putting more challenges on top of the challenges that they're already facing. So in 2012, when they closed down schools, the district promised that those individuals that were going to be relocated to other schools, they would get transportation and they would get all these sorts of support, but never really manifested. And so the same kind of pitch is going on today. Like, we're going to find the best schools for the East Oakland students.
With an opportunity ticket. Right?
With an opportunity ticket, yes. To relocate them, but they're no longer neighborhood schools. And, you know, coming, being, you know, from East Oakland, you know, there are territories, you know, and some people just feel more safe going to their community school versus stepping on somebody else's territory and on block and creating more tensions in those areas. So the Castlemont School District, like, I mean, the Castlemont High School, they have their own, you know, group of folks that feel safe there, and they love the school. The teachers love the students. There's been a lot of investment, a lot of passion at that site. But to tear away that school and to, you know, they don't know what they're going to do with it is really worrisome.
Keith, I wanted to get from the perspective of teachers. So one of the demands is smaller class sizes. Maybe I'm not being logical here, but in my mind, if you then close 24 schools, those students have to go somewhere. Isn't this just going to exacerbate the class size problem across the district?
Yes. In the district, currently we have teachers in overcrowded classrooms right now. So to close a school and expect that those students are you know, being, you know, bused to another school, that would just increase the class sizes even more. And I think that it's a good opportunity for the district to really say, we're going to invest in community schools and to keep our schools open and to, you know, really make a true commitment to lowering class size. And we mentioned the opportunity ticket. And, you know, as I've said before, you know, parents, you know, have the right to do whatever is necessary for the education of their students. However, I want to point out that the Roots parents rejected the opportunity ticket when the superintendent, Kyla Johnson-Trammell, spoke to the community of Roots, and the parents, they rejected the opportunity ticket because those parents, they want an opportunity in East Oakland. They want an opportunity in their community. So the students in East Oakland, West Oakland, they deserve opportunities just like the Hill students. So that's the real equity, is to invest in community schools, particularly in Black and brown areas.
What allies do you have on the school board? Or do you?
You know, with the school board, you know, it's an interesting situation because many of the school board members that we have were basically put on by the charter industry, outside billionaires such as Michael Bloomberg. So what we're seeing in the district, the priorities of our school board is basically a commitment to closing schools, a commitment to bringing in the portfolio model. So as president of the OEA, you know, I'm open to have, you know, conversations with our school board members. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why the teachers of Oakland, you know, we are demanding smaller class size, a living wage for our educators, and increased student supports. And we are willing to strike if necessary for those things. So the LA is showing that through the power of a strike, fighting for student and community demands is the way to leverage your power, whether it's against a superintendent in Los Angeles or just with, you know, the school board. So, you know, preparing for a possible strike, that's, you know, really our leverage in the Oakland Education Association.
Do you have a timeline for when you all may step out on strike?
So today we announced that our fact-finding panel dates will be January 31st and February 1st. So fact-finding is a process where a representative from the district and a representative from the teachers union meet with a state-appointed neutral, and both sides bring, you know, evidence-based proposals. And after that process, the state neutral issues a non-binding report. And when that report is released to the public, then the Oakland Education Association, we are legal to take a strike. And just with the timelines that we have now, that we have learned with our fact-finding, it looks like very possible in mid-February.
Tony, we heard that in Los Angeles, groups like Community Coalition and Inner City Struggle are playing a support role for parents and students who want to honor the strike. Mm-hmm. Is YT and other Oakland organizations gearing up for a possible strike as well in terms of being a support?
Yeah, of course. I think that Youth Together, we showed out for the march in solidarity. We've been supporting our teachers at the sites that we're at around educating our students that, you know, if there is a possible strike or, you know, through the sick day that's coming up, that we are going to do our best to educate the students that pop in to our sites and being able to be in classrooms to do the education on why it matters to, you know, really address the contracts for teachers. And really, I just really want to uplift, like, one of the things that we're really not talking about is, you know, California used to be the number one state in the nation for per pupil spending, right, prior to the 1978 Proposition 13. And today, we're ranked the bottom 10, but LA Times just released that California is the fifth wealthiest economy in the world, surpassing the United Kingdom. But we spend less than 10 grand on a student, but we're number one in prison spending around like 75,000. So those things have to shift. And with the new governor, we have to really mobilize and push for more money for public education.
We have been speaking with Tony D, who is the executive director of Youth Together, which is dedicated to addressing the root causes of educational inequities in Oakland. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
And to Keith Brown, who is the president of the Oakland Education Association. Keith, thank you so much.
Thank you.